Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hi, everyone. It's Diane. And here on Someone Gets Me, we always have exciting adventures, and you know that. And today's guest is an amazing woman that I've met not very long ago, actually, but I immediately knew she had to be on the show. And the reason why was because of her vibrant energy and her laugh. Oh, wait till you hear her laugh. She's amazing. And she's a very successful businesswoman, and she's a visionary, and she's also very connected spiritually. So talk about well-rounded and somebody who's willing to say yes to their life. I want to introduce you to my new really cool friend, Amanda Goolsbee. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
It is my pleasure. And so I thought we could start off today with you sharing a little bit about who Amanda is. Whatever you want to say.
Sure. So I think the funniest thing is that Amanda's a little bit different than most people because I'm currently sitting in my red BMW around the Papago Mountains, I think, in Phoenix, because I just packed up my whole life from San Francisco and decided for some reason I just felt called back to the desert. And I lived here once in 2012 to 2014 when my business career really started kicking off. And I just felt like I needed to come back. So it's a fun experience. But what I do in the world and the work that I do is that I support CEOs and their leadership teams to implement a business operating system that allows them to tactically and strategically scale their business in a way that feels really great and allows them to have the time freedom that they want, the money freedom that they want, and ultimately build the life that they're trying to build. You know, I have had a pretty interesting past 45 days, to say the least. I just turned 30 on February 22nd and took a little solo trip to Big Sur. And if you've never been to Big Sur, California, or San Simeon Bay, I'd highly recommend it. And the reason being is I had a friend, I just asked someone, I'm like, I kind of want to go away for the weekend for my birthday. And this is just how I am. I'm just a little bit like spontaneous and out there and do what I want when I want. And so so I jumped down to Big Sur. But more importantly, I went to the Hearst Castle, which is just outside of San Simeon or in San Simeon Bay. And while I was there at this castle was built by a man whose family had earned their wealth through oring silver during the like silver and gold rush in California. And his family became so wealthy. He grew up in like, ended up growing up in complete wealth. Traveled all over the world with his mom before in the 1800s, before there were even planes. And in 40 years, he built a castle in California that has 165 rooms in it. It's now a national park in California that anyone can go and tour. And what was so interesting about being there was I had never felt the energy of legacy like I felt in that place. When I walked in there that day, I was like, wow. Like, this took this man 40 freaking years to build. It took him 40 years to build. He built it through a world war. He built it through the Great Depression. He built it through, you know, he was hosting parties at the house through the eras when alcohol wasn't allowed in the Prohibition, and he was secretly having alcohol and hosting all these Hollywood actors and actresses there. And the thing that came really clear to me in that moment, as I had like just hit 30 the day before, was I know that like my legacy in this lifetime is not to leave a castle on a hill. But I do know that in 40 years between the ages of 30 and 70, like I can leave a pretty big freaking legacy on this planet if I'm committed to the path.
That's true. You know, and I think that we're learning more and more as we all expand that our legacy is not just things like a castle or an item. It's more about what is the beneficial presence to the planet, or what is it that helps all of humanity expand and grow and evolve. Mm. And so by you embracing that part of your life and saying yes, then you end up having a flow and ease in all areas of your life.
Absolutely.
So what's your favorite thing about business? What do you like the most about doing the business you do that like makes your heart sing?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I would say just thrills me the most is to watch someone or a team, like watch the potential of a team unfold. Because what most people don't realize is that every single one of us has so much untapped potential that we don't even know exists. And sometimes it takes someone else to believe in us before we believe in ourselves. Sometimes it takes someone to put us on a path to like really accelerate or allow us have this like quantum leap in our growth. And that's the thing that I enjoy the most. I love watching, you know, a CEO and their leadership team come in and within a few months, it's like they're operating like a completely different team. Everyone's happier. Everyone's healthier. Everyone's accomplishing more. And it just, you know, it really is powerful.
Oh, that's amazing. That has to bring you so much joy to be able to be part of that transformation from them having a challenge, which is why you're called in the first place, to then seeing it all kind of break free and start to like emerge. I keep seeing like these big flowers blooming or fireworks or something, you know, that has to be amazing. I see that sometimes with my clients, not in the same business sense often, though sometimes, but in that whole thing of everything coming together, their vision and their life and that gut calling. And when it hits and it all kind of comes together, it's like fireworks. It's amazing.
Totally. And it's definitely rewarding, and it fuels me to fly all over the world. You know, like it's not easy to always, like, I think I have 14 flights in the next 30 days. And that's not an easy schedule to maintain. And I don't always travel that much, but I go through seasons or bursts kind of. I've learned about myself. Like, I have these interesting rhythms about how I operate. And I've learned to just trust them. Like normally I would judge them, but now I'm just like, no, like sometimes I work for 90 days really, really, really hard, like 6 days a week for 90 days and only take one day off. And I'm talking like work like 12, sometimes 12 hours a day at times, but like on stuff that I'm passionate about, serving clients and flying and coaching and doing these things, being on stage and speaking. And then I'll take like a full month off, and I just like, will disconnect as much as I can during that time. So learning to trust like my body's rhythms has been a really interesting journey through my own, you know, self-discovery as well.
That's really cool. So do you teach the people that you work with how to trust their bodies more and how to trust all of these other parts they're probably not thinking about in the business world? Like, is that part of your magic that you bring all this amazing thing they don't think of into the equation?
Totally. So, you know, the thing that I've learned in over 15 years of being in business and owning my own business since the age of my own personal training business I opened at the age of 18, I had my first LLC. And, you know, one of the things that I've just really come to realize is you have to be in rapport with the people that you're speaking to. So if I walk into an environment like with a CEO and their leadership team, and no one's ever heard about anything that has to do with meditation or mindfulness or opening their hearts or connecting to a bigger energy and connecting to something bigger than themselves. Like, if none of that language is in their vernacular, it's going to be out of rapport if I were to just like walk in, bring my crystals, set them out on the table, and then lead a meditation. And so, you know, there's another gal who implements the EOS is the system that I implement into businesses, the entrepreneurial operating system. And there's another gal who implements that I was speaking to. And she said, yeah, I'm the same way. But like, I set clear intentions before I leave my house. Like, I have my crystals at home, and I set clear intentions for what the environment is and the energetic that I'm going to bring to the space. And so, you know, I start to sit as I build more trust with a group, and I introduce it in ways that you have to be pretty keen. Like, you have to have a keen sense, because for people that are anything into spirituality and, you know, the woo-woo stuff, it's like if you just walk into a corporate office and you just like throw down your crystals, like you're so out of rapport that you're not going to build any trust. And if you don't have trust, you don't have anything. So, you know, I've learned this kind of really fine skill set of how can I make introduce things or even hold intentions in spaces where they might not even know what's going on, but I'm holding enough of an intention and a strong enough container that energetically the space is being like safe and the space is being loving and the space is being open and people's awareness is being broadened. I do lead guided visualizations in all of my meetings because I feel like that's something that people can connect to pretty easily. It's like, hey, I'm just going to take you on a little journey. And I'll just take them through like a 5 minute or 10 minute guided visualization around their vision. But yeah, I mean, I have to introduce it in a way that's in rapport with the groups that I'm working with. But also, I'm really intentional about who I choose. So I don't work with any client. I really only work with entrepreneurs who are going to change the globe in this lifetime, who want to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves and who are truly making a difference in the world. Because I just, even being in that castle, I was just like, man, I don't want to help other people make money to build castles. Like, if you want to do something good on the planet, then I'll help you make millions of dollars. But if you don't want to do something good on the planet, I'm not going to teach you all the things I know. Just no desire. And that's really become clear to me in the last 30 days. And that is really guiding where I spend my time and the entrepreneurs that I select to support. So I want to work with people that are truly giving back.
That is, I think that's really important because that's your authentic self. You know, if you were helping people, but their overall long-term vision wasn't aligned with yours, that would be out of rapport and out of alignment. And so I think it's important that you're so clear on that you're willing to say no to the people who don't fit in that. It's not a judgment thing. It's just that they don't align with where you're headed or what, you know, works for you.
Totally.
You know,
and my business is called Aligned Success, because for many years of my business career, I was quote unquote successful. I mean, I was making $200,000 a year between, you know, living in London in a $1 million condo, driving my red BMW, like from the outer world, like I was quote unquote successful, but I was deep down miserable. And so when I made the decision to exit the business that I was in, the reason that I chose to exit was it wasn't aligned. I saw the path of my life. Like I saw, I'm very future pacing, and I saw like myself at 40, I was like 28, and I kind of saw myself and some other people that were in my business. And I was just like, dang, if I stay on this path, like that's what my life's going to look like. I'm going to be worth millions of dollars, but I'm not going to be happy. And I don't want that. Like I'm going to exit. I'm going to take a risk and jump ship off of something that's so secure and so safe, trusting myself, trusting my gifts, trusting my knowledge, trusting my abilities, that I'll figure it out. And has it been easy? Hell no, it hasn't been easy. The first 6 months were so rough. One, because I was exhausted. I just had to like sleep. I slept so much the first even like year after leaving my corporate role, because my body was exhausted. I'd been working 60 to 70 hours a week for 6 years.
And so you gave yourself some rest.
And then I got back into balance. I like really focused on how do I balance the masculine energy that I've harnessed from a majority of my life of action and doing and achieving and going and executing with this like beautiful feminine that I like had cultivated over that year of rest. Where I mean like, I was receiving coaching at the time, and I had a coach that was like, he was encouraging me to sleep as much as I needed. And there were times where I was sleeping 12 hours a night consistently.
Well, it was your body healing itself and repairing itself.
Totally. I've taken better care of myself in the past 2 years than I ever have when I ever was in business with just like the healing modalities that I use. I mean, I started doing network spinal analysis, which is a form of light touch chiropractic that helps reprogram your nervous system. And I have practitioners in Hawaii that I see. I have practitioners in San Francisco. I'm looking for a practitioner now that I'm back in Phoenix. And it's been a powerful healing modality that I had never been introduced to and had just gotten introduced when I went to an event with a company that trains sales leaders out in San Francisco called Abundant. And when I went to their event, it was interesting because they like train high level salespeople, but they were like leading meditations. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like the exact blend of business and spirituality that I've been looking for. Like, this is, these are my people. This is the community I've been looking for. And they really did help me with, you know, that masculine feminine balance with self-care. And like, I mean, I go to the spa once a week now for 3 to 4 hours consistently. Like, I commit to that as a practice. Just like someone would commit to their meditation practice, because I've learned that like that really is healing for my body. Like, I'm, have you done astrology at all? Have you done?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have. Okay. So I've been just barely dipping my toes into it. I'm definitely not an expert. My expert friend is Deborah Silverman Astrology, and she is hilarious. If anyone wants to go check out some funny, hilarious videos, just check out Deborah Silverman Astrology on YouTube, and then look for your star sign, and you'll probably die laughing from her comedy that she is. But in 8 weeks of going through her course, I've learned so much about myself that like I had never learned. And I'm like, wow, like I am different. Like, when I was born, the planet of Mercury was in Aquarius. And one of the things she says about that is like, let your freak flag fly. It's like, yeah, you're different. And just like, be okay with being different. In just the last 8 weeks, like the shifts that have happened since I joined that course and committed to the practices that she puts in place. Like, she has an affirmation for Pisces North Node. And she just says like, hey, you're meant to be a full-blown mystic. And your mantra is, as long as my feet are on the ground, my head can be in the clouds. And so I've been like committing to that as a practice. It's like, how much am I truly in a dream state? How often am I sitting in a spa just receiving what's coming through? Because the amount that's come through me in the last 8 weeks is more than has ever come through me in any 8 weeks in my entire life, now that I'm fully trusting.
And I think that's an important part, now that you're fully trusting, you know, because I think some people, they might get the inspired idea, or they might have like, we would call them downloads or something, or like, oh yeah, that's really good, you know, and they don't really trust it sometimes, or there's a doubt about it, or they're not sure. And so I think it takes that willingness to start trusting and to keep getting confirmation as we need it inside and outside in order to keep trusting. And so that's where I think the continuous personal development is required if we're going to be successful and grow. Because totally. If you weren't curious and you weren't checking out all these different things, you wouldn't have never heard of Deborah Silverman. You wouldn't have learned these things in order to then see how they could be woven into your world. It's not like you abandoned your previous world. You wove them together. And I think that's so important. So many people learn something new and they go over there and they abandon the old, and it's a yes and. It's not an either or.
Totally. And, you know, I think that in, thanks for saying that, because in you saying that, it was just like a quick reflection to me of like how committed I've been to learning over the past 6 years or 7 years, especially. Like in 2012, I had just been in a really bad accident. I had almost lost my leg on a jet ski. I was 21 years old when it happened. I got life flighted. I was in the hospital for 2 months. I was in a wheelchair for 6 months. I started, got an abusive relationship. I started using drugs. By the middle of that next year, I was selling a half ounce of ecstasy a weekend out of nightclubs in Portland. And my whole life had gone from being in college and like doing personal training and doing all this thing to like a full blown downward spiral and crash. And when I moved to Arizona, this was in December of 2011, I moved here the last time because it was like, this is my begin again. Like, this is my chance to start my life over, where no one knows me, where I don't have friends, where I'm not connected. And guess what? It's freaking scary to do that. But the thing about it is that if you're not happy where you're at, one of the most powerful things you can do to shift your identity of who you see yourself as, which is ultimately how transformation occurs in your life, is when you can shift from saying, oh, I'm just this little blah, 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 to like, no, I'm freaking a powerful being that was put on this planet for a purpose, and I'm here to help people in this way. When you can shift that identity, then all the ways that you act in your life, they start to change. The behaviors kind of follow it. But if you're not changing who you see yourself as, you're never going to shift. And one of the most powerful ways I've personally found for myself to shift that is I change environments a lot. I lived in 9 states in 6 years, and I lived in London as well. So between 2012 and let's call it 2019, I've lived in 9 states and I've lived in London. I've spent 20 days in Africa. I've spent 2 or 3 months in Bali. I've spent a month or two in Central America. And mind you, like, all because I've been on this journey of like complete devotion to mastery of so many different skill sets. Mastery of high performance, mastery of energy and breath work, mastery of meditation, mastery of business and business operating systems, mastery of leadership, mastery of relationships. Because I've been so committed, like, I don't want to have the life that the average person has. I'm like, I don't know when all the pieces are going to fall into place. Yeah, I have a successful business. All my bags are in the back of my car right now. Like, this is, I downsized my life just like 2 weeks ago to basically, I'm like, I don't want all this stuff. Like, why do I have so many clothes? I'm like, I don't need this stuff. I'm like, there's babies starving in Africa. I went twice. Believe me, I know. My heart was blasted open. I'm like, there's bigger things. And if I'm not playing at the level of bigger things on this planet, then I'm actually not showing up as the person that God put me on this planet to be. The divine source, whatever you want to call it. I call it God. And it's like, if I'm not playing at that fullest potential every single day in the way I treat my body, in the way I exercise, in the way I eat, in the way I meditate, in the way I act with every single person I come in contact with, then I'm actually doing a disservice to the planet. And so taking that responsibility on, especially like as I hit that 30 milestone, I was just like, man, there's no like maybe for me anymore. It's like, I have to go 110%. And I learned that in astrology too about myself. It's like, yeah, you're a Pisces. You either are in full blown addiction or you're in purity. And I'm like, you know what? I've done addiction. I'm going to choose purity from here on out. So like, I don't do any type of drugs. I don't drink. I've basically, you know, I'll have sips of wine at a nice dinner, but that's it. And it's like those shifts that I've like really committed to are game changers, because not the majority of people aren't doing it. they're not willing to make the sacrifices to do the tough things, to pack up and move. I was $80,000 in debt. I didn't know how I was gonna like survive in Arizona. But guess what? If you trust that something bigger than us is always running everything, and that you're always, like, my belief system is I'll always be taken care of. I will always be taken care of. Diane, can I ask you, if I needed a place, could I come sleep on your couch at some point?
Sure.
Absolutely. And guess what? I have probably 100 people that would say that to me as well. So what's the worst that could happen? That I end up homeless and I need someone's couch to sleep on? I think we create these stories about what could happen if we jump. Do you think so? Like, people think, oh, what if I jump into the thing I want to do and like I fail? Then what's going to happen? Like, I've been homeless. I've been literally sleeping in my car before when I moved here to Arizona and I didn't have a place to stay. And it's like, what's the worst? So I know that was a long, long little soapbox right there, but I get pretty passionate if you can't tell.
Well, I love your passion, and I love that, you know, the commitment of either I'm going to live the purity, healthy lifestyle or I'm not. And understanding that there is a sacrifice and that it is a conscious decision. It's not, you know, accidental. And I think that's how come so few people even get there, because they don't make the conscious decision. They think it's all a byproduct.
Totally.
So I think what you said has a ton of wisdom in it. You know, you said you want to play at your fullest potential. And if anybody wants to play at their fullest potential in whatever the venue is, whether it's serving the world or being spiritually connected or being an athlete or whatever, it doesn't matter. If we're going to play at our full potential, then we have to be willing to make the short-term sacrifices to get that long-term goal, whatever the goal is. And make that decision, you know, decide means cut out all of the possibilities. And your answer and all the things you said encompass what it looks like in real life to make that a decision and actually like do it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So what do you do if you ever find yourself overthinking? How do you handle overthinking? That's one of the big issues for a lot of our listeners is, you know, how do I not overthink so much or not get in my own way in my brain? Do you have, you know, any kind of tips or anything that you do that kind of helps you, because you're a fast thinking, very, very smart person with a ton of ideas. And so I imagine, if you're not really attentive, the brain can go into loops and kind of get a little annoying. So how do you handle that?
So it's a great question. And, you know, my brain does move really, really fast. I've never been officially diagnosed, but my mom's bipolar, my grandma's bipolar, my aunt was bipolar, and I have very similar kind of brain things that show me that sometimes in a year, my brain moves really, really, really fast. And sometimes my brain moves quite slow. And I've learned to trust those rhythms. I don't tend to overthink about what I'm going to do or where I'm going to, like what I'm going to take action on. Because one of the things that I've learned is that the person who runs the fastest wins. And so I'm one of the most decisive people that I know. I mean, I met you, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, 3 weeks, coming on
three weeks ago. So I met you 3 weeks ago, and since I met you and now, I've packed up my whole life, moved to a different state. I have flown to an event that I hadn't even been invited to yet when we met. I went there and attended it. I flew to San Diego and saw a new franchise called True Rest Float Spas. And I've built out a full business model of how to raise the consciousness on this planet by helping people get into a relaxed state and drop into a deep meditation in a float spa, because it's a more readily available tool where people actually know about it around the planet, where that's not happening right now. There's 32 of them nationwide. And I'm like, how can we have 500 of these? How can these be in every city so that people really stop overthinking because they have a deep meditation practice? Like, I meditate every day. I have not missed a day. And like, I haven't missed a day probably in at least a year that I haven't meditated in some capacity. And that helps my overthinking because it's awareness. I have an awareness of my brain that I've never had before. And I'm very mindful of that voice that's inside my head that tells me I can't do it. I know when that voice comes out. Anytime it comes out, I literally just have a conversation with it. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, stop saying stupid shit. Stop saying stupid shit. And then the second thing I've known is that if I'm tired, that voice comes up a lot more. So if I'm really exhausted or I'm under rested, it's usually in the afternoon or evening, and that voice will come up. And so what I've started to say to myself is if the voice, like that inner critic that we have, if that comes up at all, I'm just like, I say to the voice, I just say, it's okay, you're really tired. Like, it's okay, you're really tired, get some rest. It's okay, you're really tired, get some rest. And just repeating that type of a mantra over and over and just talking, have a conversation with a part of yourself that's telling you that you're not good enough. Because that part of you is not running the show. Don't let that part of you be the part of you that's operating your life. If you can operate from the part of you that is trusting, that is confident, that knows what they want and is taking action, as soon as you, even if it's imperfect, like just do it. I mean, I literally was like, oh, I need to build a nonprofit. The next thing I did was open my phone and look, how do I build a 501c3 and what state am I going to start it in? And is there a reason why I would start it in different states? And like, I do research literally on my phone immediately as an idea comes to me. And I don't just stop. I don't just think, oh, well, that seems, it's like, no, that came to you for a reason. I believe that every vision that is put on our hearts comes to us because we were meant to have that vision. And if we don't take action on it, then what you're saying to the universe, to God, to whatever, whoever you believe in and whatever you pray to is like, no, thanks. I'm good. I got this. And it's like, wait, but do you really? Like, do you really have the life that you want ultimately in all areas, financially, emotionally, spiritually, relationally? Like, is your life perfect in all capacities or as close to that as possible? And if the answer is no, should probably listen to that little whisper that you hear, because that little whisper has so much wisdom to it. But it's like a feather. When a feather touches you, it feels pretty good, so you kind of don't listen to it. What happens after a feather is a brick. And when bricks hit you, that's your intuition that was trying to talk to you, that was like, hey, listen to me. And then a brick hits you and you're like, oh shit, should probably listen to the brick. And then if you don't listen to the brick, guess what happens? A truck. And I've had truck moments in my life where I wasn't listening to my intuition. And I'm sure you probably have too, as well, where you're just like, your body kept telling you, your physical body, as you got more tuned in with where you feel things in your body, somatically, you're like, wow, like I knew when I did an interview one time, like I shouldn't hire someone. I hired him anyways. And then guess what? It was a train wreck. And I knew it deeply. I was like, don't hire this person. And then like I hired him and it was a disaster. And I'm like, now I trust my intuition more than I ever have. When I meet someone for the first time, it doesn't matter where they're working. I mean, I interview employees all over the world. I met a guy that was the attendant at the Southwest gate at the St. Louis airport, literally, what was that, yesterday? And he was so funny. And I'm like, I need you on my team. I don't know where you're gonna work. I don't even know. I'm like, but you're hilarious. And if you can make my customers laugh as much as you just made me laugh in a check-in line at a Southwest baggage claim in St. Louis, Missouri, I want you on my team. And that's the intuition piece that I trust, where most people are thinking so logically, like, I need a resume and I need to know. And I'm like, no, like, that's not how, if you want to be really successful in business, like, I have to hire a lot of employees to build a really, really big business. And in order to do that quickly, you need to be looking out for people everywhere and looking out for opportunities everywhere. But it ultimately comes down to that level of awareness that you have. So I think with overthinking, it's just like, be aware of the thoughts that are going on in your head. Have a level of awareness that says, oh, that's that voice again. That's that inner critic. Name it if you need. One of my friends, Javon Linkford, who does men's work in LA and has a nonprofit in LA, he says his inner critic's name is Stuart. And when Stuart comes along, he's like in a leather jacket, smoking a cigarette, and he's just like not who he is. It's a different person. And he just treats that inner critic as a different person. So I think that's probably the most powerful advice I could give, is be aware of when that voice comes up, create some sort of a conversation with it. Might sound crazy, but guess what? That's how I explain things to people, where it's like, this is my way of doing it. And yes, I'm different. I'm a little bit different than most people. I'm actually a lot different than most people. And guess what? I don't give a shit. At least not anymore. I did through most of my 20s, but now I'm just like, I don't care.
Well, now I think what you mean when you say that you don't care is that it doesn't really matter what other people think, that you're really enjoying all of who you are in all of your neat uniqueness, and that instead of walking around with it being a label of negativity, it's assets and you know it, and it's fun to be you.
Totally. And I think that if anyone that's listening to this could just say, hey, is there anywhere in my life where I'm judging myself? Is there anywhere in my life that I'm saying I'm supposed to be different than I am? I'm supposed to be thinner than I am. I'm not supposed to have this cellulite on my legs. I'm supposed to have curly hair and straight hair. Like, where are you judging yourself? Because that's where it starts. That self-judgment and that self-criticism is where you're saying, I'm different, or I'm not meant to be this, or other people are like this, but I'm like this, but I don't want to fully be myself. And now I'm just like, I didn't feel like wearing makeup to like dinner last night. I was probably at the nicest restaurant in all of Scottsdale. And I told my boyfriend, I'm like, I'm not putting on any makeup. And he's like, that's fine. I'm like, cool, sounds great. But like, sometimes I wear a full face of makeup. It's just like, I do what I want when I want now. And it's really liberating. It's a really liberating feeling to know that I can fully be myself in this world.
Yeah, you can fully be yourself and do what you want to do, because you're following higher spiritual principles. And it's not, I'm doing what I want to do, throwing caution to the wind and doing irresponsible things.
Totally.
It's that decision that you made to play and go after your fullest potential has led you to a higher standard. And so you do what you want to do in that direction, you know, and it's not reckless at all, even though somebody may want to think it sounds that way. It really is not reckless. It's a calculated freedom.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I, if anyone's done Gene Keys, I think it's interesting. Like I say, lifelong learner, I did the Gene Keys about 6 months ago, and my life's purpose Gene Key, which I don't know a ton about Gene Keys. I've not like studied it deeply, but what I found interesting was my life's purpose Gene Key is there's what's called the shadow of your life purpose, the gift, and then the city. And my shadow is victimization, which is interesting because I was very victimized in many ways all the way through my challenges and the drugs and the alcohol and the abuse, like very like in that victim state. And then the gift is freedom, and the city is freedom. And so it's become very clear to me, like freedom is important not only to me, but to the entrepreneurs that I work with. Like my life's purpose is freedom. And that shows up also in the legacy that I'm here to leave. Like in the last 60 days, I've realized, wow, I'm here in this lifetime to systemically change the way that drugs are prosecuted and the way that felons are treated when they leave the penitentiary system. And that might seem like really random and really out there, but my brother is currently in jail in Southern California, and he's been on heroin and meth for 10 years on and off. And that sucks. Like, it's hard to deal with as a sister because it's an addiction, and it's tough to like see a family member that you love go through something. But it's become very clear to me that like, hey, there's a reason why when you were 22, your best friend, who's another female, got two felonies because her boyfriend was selling drugs and now she can't get a really good job. It's like, yeah, you went through all of that so that now you can systemically change this because you've had the experience of dealing with it and being in it and also seeing how it affects. And so in my next company, like my goal at a minimum is we're going to set everything up in as second chance employers for people that are ex-felons. And our goal is to hire at least 50% of our workforce to be ex-drug dealers, especially because one thing I know about ex-drug dealers is they are hard freaking workers. Because I was a hustler when I was selling drugs. I was a hustler. I'd be working all day and then I'd go to the nightclub and sell drugs all night. That's like a 24-hour day. And I know that, you know? So it's like, I care so much about the people who no one else cares about. The next freedom that I want is like, I want freedom from sex trafficking. Like, it is crazy that we live in this lifetime, like where we're at now with the technology we have, with the money and the wealth that's in this country, and yet sex trafficking is happening for women so much, rampantly in the United States, and even worse in other countries. And so it's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to systemically change the prison system. I don't know how I'm going to systemically change the sex trafficking system. I don't know the how yet. But when your why is deep enough, the how will figure itself out. That's my belief.
That's true. When your why is deep enough, the how will figure itself out, because that's pretty much how I've lived my life. Even before I even knew that's what I was doing. I think I was gifted with this like kind of innocence intuition, like I just how I was. I didn't even realize it was a thing and everything. And then now I really, of course, embrace it and appreciate it. But I look back on some of the risks I've taken or some of the things I've done. And people are like looking at me and I'm like, well, that's just what I know I need to do. I don't know how to say it any different. In fact, I was just interviewed earlier today on a TV show, and I started talking about how the people I love to work with are the people that other people don't understand and often judge or call them high maintenance. And I love them. I love the people that think fast and are visionaries, and you have to really pay attention to keep up with them, because there's a lot of energy in that to help, you know, and grow and whatever. And they were all the people, because it was like one of those live things, and there's all these people that are looking at me, and I'm like, well, this is the truth. That's who I really love to work with. I can work with anybody, but I'm going to work with people. And I said a similar thing to what you, kind of along the same sentiment of what you were saying, is I looked at it and I go, it's a numbers game. The more people that I can help with the bigger reach helps transform the planet faster.
Totally.
And that's how I look at it. Every opportunity and everything I do, every podcast I do, you know, I have two podcasts. I'm getting ready to start a third one. I have six books out, and I help people all over the globe because it's a numbers game. And it's about helping as many people get as enlightened and aware as we possibly can get, so that truly humanity can come out of the prisons that humanity's been in so many different ways. You know, I think that's why we hit it off right away. Across the room from each other, we knew we had to know each other, you know?
I know. It was funny. You came over to get water and I was like, hey, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, it was cool. And so I think that that's really amazing. Another kind of fun question. And that is, what's your favorite food to eat?
So I know this is going to sound crazy and people are going to be like, whatever, but this is my... I say that a lot. I'm like, I know this is going to sound crazy because I say crazy things, but my favorite food to eat is like this kale salad that I make at home, and it's kale, quinoa, apples, and goat cheese, and then I make a dressing that is like avocado oil, lemon, honey, and Dijon mustard, and I mix that, and sometimes I'll put like craisins or sometimes I'll put walnuts, but like that salad is probably my favorite thing to eat, like out of anything. I mean, the reason is because it gives me, it makes my body feel so good. It gives me so much like nourishment and energy that every time I eat it, I don't feel bad after I eat it. I don't feel like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have eaten that. I just feel like I can go take on another 3 or 4 hours of the day. And like, that's what food was meant to do to us. It's like meant to be this thing that allows us to have life force and to like connect to the earth. That's why I don't get when people don't eat plants. I'm like, you realize like plants are alive too. So the more that you are tapped in to the plants and the cells that are like connecting everything, is like the more tapped in and connected you get. And that's why I'm like, I'm probably 90% plant-based now. And yet I used to be a bodybuilder where I would eat, you know, a pound of tilapia and chicken a day when I was getting ready for my bodybuilding shows.
Right. And you know, it's funny, with every answer to every question, you have added another dimension of who you are. From this business executive poop person who teaches woo-woo stuff, right? As you say. A bodybuilder, an ex-drug addict, you've got covered all. You move around all over the place, and I think it's brilliant because I think it just shows that you have this great multifaceted way about you, like we all do. But because you're owning it and living in the moment of it all, it's not a burden. It's a joy to be all of those things and having had all those experiences is so exciting.
It is fun. Yeah, I'm really grateful that I have had it, and it's been a challenging journey at times, and you know, it's definitely, I would say it's a path to trusting yourself and to trusting a higher source and to trusting that like everything happens for a reason. And every the way that you were created, like you were divinely created. You were divine. Every one of us was created in a very specific way. Like you think, like if someone doesn't believe in astrology, I'm like, okay, so this is interesting. The moon changes the tides of the water. Our bodies are made up 70 to 80% of water, but you don't think that the moon has an effect on you? That's interesting. There's no way. There's literally no way. Mm-hmm. Like, and as I've gone through this course now, I've been like, oh yeah, it's like 100%. The amount I've learned is just like, it's so powerful. So for anyone that, you know, might be thinking, oh, well, you know, and those that it's like, just be aware of when you're listening to that podcast and this voice comes up. Like, I used to listen to podcasts and that voice would pop up. It's like, oh, well, I can't do that. Or, oh, well, I'll never be able to. Or, well, she's done this. And like, she has this amazing, she's done this story and she's this. And it's like, no, take it all the way back to just like, stop comparing, be yourself, be who you are, be who you're meant to be in this lifetime, trust yourself, and magic will happen. Pure magic will happen when you start to fully live into that.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I love it. I'm going to put a link to your website and whatever other social media links that you would like in the show notes, along with your bio so that everybody can learn more about how amazing you are in all these really cool ways. And so the last question I have is there anything that you really feel led to say to all of us that we have not covered, or maybe something that you know, we're hoping I'd ask and I didn't, or something maybe from your heart that you would want to share?
Yeah, there is. You know, I really feel that I'm on a mission to support global transformation in this lifetime. And I feel that I'm in part leading this mission in many ways. And I know there's a lot of people in the world that are doing amazing things. But there's also a lot of people in the world who say they care about creating change and transformation, but they're actually just donating little bits of cash here and there to random, you know, random charities that isn't actually creating any sort of systemic change. And so what I would ask is like, keep your eyes on what I'm doing. And if you have any passion in changing the things that I'm gonna be focused on over the next 30 years, then I'd love for you to be a part of it in any way, shape or form that would take, because I can't do this alone. Like I can't systemically change the prison system by myself. I can surely hire a few hundred ex-felons and show what's possible when people are actually given the right opportunity and not treated like they're worthless anymore and treated like they don't have any sort of humanity left in them. I can do that piece of it. but it's like, I'm going to need other things in order to create a systemic change. So I guess what I would just say is, if there is anyone that's listening, that's like, yeah, I want to be a part of creating global transformation, is just keep an eye on what I'm doing, because over the next 6 to 12 months, there's going to be a lot more in that kind of space that is going to be coming about.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we'll make sure to have all the links there so we can all refer to them and be part of something greater if you're led to do that in that same way. But we all have the opportunity to be great, be part of something greater, regardless of what it is. And I think it's living that something greater that really it makes our life worth living and valuable.
Totally.
Well, Amanda, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. What a fun conversation. I love listening to you. We could be on the show forever, but we can't. Otherwise, maybe we'll do another episode in a few months and see where you are. We could do a
weird fun
show.
Where in the world is Amanda? My mom used to say that to me. She's like, it's not Where's Waldo, it's Where's Amanda.
I love it. Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Alrighty, everybody, remember to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. You are a rock star. Go out and bless the world and be everything you're meant to be. And until next time, be well.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at missdianeallen.com. That's missdianeallen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.